Good Monday morning. It is Kale and Company Live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we hope you join us every day, Monday through Friday, right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental, with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. I tell you what, if you're a Boston sports fan, it was a nearly perfect weekend. In fact, I guess you could call it a perfect weekend. Red Sox went into Pittsburgh, and as miserable as they played at home during their most recent 10-game homestand where they went 3-7, they swept the Pittsburgh Pirates. Three straight games at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. How about that? And now the Red Sox are 10-3 on the road. Maybe they should just stay on the road. 10-3 on the road, and at home, they're 3-7. Hey, folks, as someone once said, it doesn't have to make sense. So the Red Sox swept their series, which was kind of under the radar because the Bruins and Celtics opened their playoffs this weekend. Bruins on Saturday night came out steaming, red hot, and beat Toronto 5-1. I remember in a playoff game against Toronto in 1969, I believe it was, 69. Derek Sanderson was still on the Bruins. And the Bruins beat Toronto in the first game of a playoff series 10-0. You can look it up, folks. Now, this wasn't quite that bad. It was just 5-1, but that was great. Bruins got off to a good start. They'll play again tonight against Toronto at the Garden. And the Celtics got off to a good start yesterday against Miami. We'll talk a little bit more about that game, and we will have a blast from the past that you will want to stick around and hear, because you're gonna laugh. You're gonna laugh, folks, especially folks who remember probably the most significant broadcaster in Boston Celtics history. So I'm just going to tease it there and, get your cassette recorders ready to tape this, to record this moment in time during our next segment. Anyway, today is Earth Day. And we've been doing this for quite some time now. The first Earth Day, you know when it was, folks? April 22nd, 1970. So we've been doing it now for what? 54 years. Prior to that, it was virtually no environmental movement. The factories were pumping toxins into the air, recycling almost non-existent, and gas-guzzling vehicles were the norm. The seeds of the modern movement had been planted, however, with the publishing of Rachel Carson's Silent Spring in 1962. The book raised the public's awareness of pollution and its effect on health. And then in 1969, water pollution and chemical waste disposal came to the attention of the public after the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught fire. Many of you will, I'm sure, remember that. That was in 69, too. 1969, the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught on fire with everything that was in that body of water. So Democratic Senator Gaylord Nelson of Wisconsin was deeply concerned about environmental issues. After witnessing the Santa Barbara oil spill in 1969, he began planning for the first Earth Day, and that was during the time of Vietnam War protests and teach-ins. Nelson thought that he could bring the problems of pollution into the public consciousness by organizing similar types of teach-ins. He hoped that by sharing a spotlight and shining a spotlight on environmental issues in this way, there may be a chance of bringing them into the realm of national priorities, where they had yet to be seen. He announced Earth Day at a conference in Seattle in September of 1969. Nelson told the media there would be a teach-in about the environment and began organizing, and he had help from the other side of the aisle, as well as Pete McCloskey, Republican congressman from California, became co-chair of the first Earth Day back in 1970. Dennis Hayes, the young student president of Stanford University, became the national coordinator. He had a staff of 85 people and organized with student volunteers and members of Senator Nelson's office. And April 22nd was chosen as Earth Day because it was between spring break and final exams, so more university students could be involved. So that's the origin of Earth Day, which we observe and celebrate today. And if you'd like to listen, there are multiple ways that the day can be celebrated. There are things that can be done specifically on this day, as well as changes that could be made any day of the week, really. But they're brought to light on Earth Day every year. Clean up something in your city or neighborhood, like a park, a beach, or a river. Attend an Earth Day rally, and I'm sure there are several going on in the state of New Hampshire today. Recycle plastics. Work to stop using them altogether, using reusable bottles, utensils, and bags. In fact, there was a great article in the Concord Monitor this morning by the great Ray Duckler, talking about how a downtown cobbler in Concord loves to recycle shoes. Read it. It's above the fold in today's Concord Monitor. Food comes into play, too. Eat local food, which has a smaller carbon footprint because it hasn't been shipped across the country. Or grow your own food. Eat less meat. Some people don't agree with that, but, conserve water, save paper. Traveling, be more environmentally conscious by walking or riding a bike, carpooling, and using public transportation. I've always been, even long before Earth Day came around, I've always been an advocate of public transportation, especially when you're going into larger metropolitan areas like Boston, for example, in our case, where it's much, first of all, less expensive to use public transportation than trying to park most places in Boston, unless you're lucky enough to find just that space. But, that doesn't happen very often. Light bulbs, replace incandescent light bulbs with LED and fluorescent bulbs. Turn off lights when you're not near them. Some people have installed solar panels, solar energy. Turn your thermostat down in the winter and up in the summer. What? Really? Volunteer with, I understand turning it down a little bit, but up. Volunteer with a local environmental group. Create an active green, plant a tree, or donate a tree. So you can visit the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, to get some more ideas, videos, and all that kind of stuff. Read a book that deals with the environment and environmental issues. So lots of things you can do. I know it will be commemorated. It's school vacation week in most of New Hampshire, and I know Massachusetts had its vacation week for the most part last week, and most of New Hampshire, the schools are on vacation, so it won't be commemorated at schools this year, the way the dates fell, but I'm certain that there are a number of Earth Day celebrations and commemorations in and around the Granite State today. It is also April Showers Day. I don't think we're going to have any of those today. Girl Scout Leader Day. And National Jelly Bean Day. Remember how President Reagan, he loved his jelly beans. Anyway, birthday. Commemorated somehow, folks. All right, we're going to have, as I promised, a blast from the past coming up in this next segment. The gentleman we're going to highlight is no longer with us, but he certainly made his mark. And we'll play it for you. Right after these words, Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented proudly by our good friends at Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. Kale and Company Live here on this Earth Day. By the way, we're talking about Earth Day in our first segment. It's going to be an Earth Day celebration today from 1 to 5 at Concord's White Park, which is not very far from our WKXL studio. So an Earth Day celebration today, 1 to 5 at White Park in Concord. So there you go. That'll be one commemoration of Earth Day. So check that one out if you have the opportunity to do that. So there you go. I was not aware of it, but during the break, I looked it up to see what was going on here. Other celebrations as well. It's do-it-yourself Earth Day buttons will be made this morning starting at 9 o'clock at the Concord Public Library. How about that? And an Earth Day open house celebration at Lake Sunapee today. The Lake Sunapee Protective Association will be hosting a celebration that begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So there are several Earth Day celebrations going on. You can Google it, just do what I did, Earth Day events in New Hampshire. But the closest one to us would be at beautiful White Park in Concord. Well, we mentioned in the first segment, Celtics opened their playoffs yesterday, Sunday, against the Miami Heat. Celtics won convincingly. Great day for Jason Tatum. His first playoff triple-double with 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. And the team, generally speaking, played very well. They had a 30-point lead at one stage of the game that was cut more than in half by the Heat. But the Celtics managed to win it going away by 20 points, 114-94. Jason Tatum, star of the game for the Celtics. But the play that people will be talking about more than anything else in that game yesterday came in the closing minute of the fourth quarter as Tatum hit the parquet floor at TD Garden very, very hard after Miami Heat forward Caleb Martin undercut him. And that's, you know, the description of some. Others say it was, you know, clean play. They were just going for the rebound. But I can only imagine, I thought at the time, I imagine some of you remember the late, great Celtics broadcaster, Johnny Most. Well, I wondered right at that moment when Tatum was hit by Caleb Martin, Tatum went to the court hard, sprung right back up, and then Jaylen Brown went after Caleb Martin. They never exchanged any blows, but Brown wanted to show who was boss and protect his teammate. I just wondered at that time how the late, great Johnny Most would have described it. And here's the way that Johnny described, you know, some of the great rivalry that went on between the Celtics and the Detroit Pistons back in the day. Let's hear it from Johnny Most, former Celtics great broadcaster.
Hi there, sports fans. This is Johnny Most reporting for the Boston Celtics. And we're starting to see the bang-bang stuff now. Rodman is all over Bird. And there is a violent knockdown by Lambert. Oh, my. A completely unnecessary foul by Lambert. And he has the audacity to complain about something. They have been called a dirty ball club, and I can see why. This is a typical disgusting display by Rodman, Lambert, and Isaiah Thomas. It's a yellow, gutless way they do things here. Now the other Lord Fauntleroy's coming in, the other good guy coming in, Rick Mahorn, the guy who hit people from behind. I have a great deal of contempt and disrespect for this kid right now because of the blindside swipe he took at Bird. It was Dennis Rodman, and he sneers. He didn't do it because he's a goody-good boy. He wouldn't do something nasty like that. Dennis Rodman did not incur my respect anyway. In fact, tell that to these miserable Detroit media people because they called me Jerk of the Week. Well, fine, I'll be a Jerk of the Week, but I'll be myself. I wouldn't be like them for all the money in the world.
Oh, my goodness. The late, great Johnny Most. Now, I had to pull that out because I can only imagine how Johnny Most would have, let us say, embellished yesterday's, bump by Caleb Martin on Jason Tatum. It was hard, but I don't know. From my perspective, I wasn't there. I was only watching on TV. I don't necessarily know that it falls into the category of some of the antics the very dirty Detroit Pistons used to utilize against the Boston Celtics, and Johnny Most certainly embellished those, and I know he would have embellished what took place yesterday at the TD Garden. As you said, Tatum got back on his feet quickly after hitting the deck. Jaylen Brown immediately took exception to Martin's foul, and, when it was all said and done, Tatum hit the two free throws. Celtics won it, going away, 114-94. Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla had an unsurprising reaction to Martin's foul and the subsequent brouhaha that took place. Mazzulla said, I was waiting to see what Brown was going to do. Mazzulla said, I was kind of excited about the whole situation, so I enjoyed watching it. So that's what Coach Joe Mazzulla had to say about it. Brian Scalabrine, who was the Celtics television analyst, said, and I quote, I'm not trying to start. I'll quote him directly. I'm not trying to start nothing here. But Eric Spoelstra, who's the Miami coach, called a timeout with a minute and a half left, down by 16 points, Scalabrine said. 30 seconds later, that play happens. 30 seconds later. Why is he calling a timeout with a minute and a half to go? Why is that play happening? That play right there, 30 seconds later. That looks shady to me. To me, it's a dirty play, he added. I think anybody that looks at that, I think Martin should get suspended for that. That's a dirty play. You can't do that. Just think about that. The NBA is about star players. The idea of winning an NBA championship is your star players have to stay healthy. And a guy goes up and you just ram into him? That ain't basketball. End quote from Scal. I don't know. I wasn't convinced. And I think when you slow it down, it looked like Caleb Martin got a little shove from Drew Holiday of the Celtics. I mean, a very, very light shove that might have, pushed him into Tatum a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, Tatum went down with a thud. And boy, just for a split second, hearts were stopping at TD Garden, and all Celtics fans tuned in were very concerned. Tatum went down on his back. He sprung right up. You could see a little grimace on his face when he hit the deck. But he sprung right up. I took the ball away from a Miami player went to the foul line and made two free throws. So there you go. It was quite an afternoon at the Garden. Celtics dominated, and we'll see what happens. A couple of days off now, and we'll see if there are any repercussions, as it were, from that bump by Caleb Martin that decked Jason Tatum, but no injury sustained, apparently, by Jason Tatum. And after the game, he said, well, that's playoff basketball. That's what you have to expect. Playoff basketball is rough and tough, a lot rougher and tougher than it is during the regular season. So that was Jason Tatum's reaction in a nutshell. But we'll see if there's any carryover impact going into Wednesday's game. But I thought you'd like to hear how Johnny Most might have called that incident. He might have been on the court after that. All right, we will take a quick break here. It's Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. And might you have to pay a toll at some point to get into Massachusetts? We'll talk about that when we return. Right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Kale and Company Live right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. I was thinking about Johnny Most. Had the opportunity actually to work with Johnny Most years ago, and he was if you could say that somebody was one of a kind, that would be Johnny Most, and he was really something. And he unfortunately left us too soon. He had some health issues and had to have his both of his legs amputated in the latter stages of his life. And but he still, even at that stage of his life, he was very feisty, and he had had thoughts on everything, not just basketball, believe me. At any rate, that same clip that we played moments ago here on the show, I played it one time at another show I was doing elsewhere. I had the great Isaiah Thomas in studio. Now, it was Wine Week in New Hampshire, and Isaiah Thomas has a line of wines now, and has for a number of years. This goes back, what, maybe 5 or 6 years I had Isaiah Thomas on a program. And I played that clip from Johnny Most, which mentions Isaiah Thomas's name and Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn and other members of the Detroit Pistons. And they were dirty, folks. Don't get me wrong. Johnny Most did embellish as well. But Isaiah Thomas, I don't think he had heard that clip before. He knew, of course, of Johnny Most and the way he used to call Celtics games. But I think Isaiah Thomas was hearing that clip for the first time, and he just, he couldn't stop laughing. He could not stop laughing at that that clip that you just heard moments ago, Johnny Most attacking verbally the Detroit Pistons during the Celtics-Pistons playoff series. Back in the Celtics' heyday, and the Bird, Parrish, McHale days in Detroit with Laimbeer, Isaiah, Rick Mahorn, and others. And Isaiah Thomas just couldn't stop. He was in stitches laughing, hearing that from Johnny Most. That was funny. Anyway, Governor Sununu not taking kindly to the idea of tolling drivers entering Massachusetts at the state border. That was a proposal, folks. This is from yesterday's Boston Herald. Proposal that was floated last week by Bay State Transportation Secretary Monica Tibbetts-Nutt during an advocacy event. Tibbetts-Nutt said a group tasked with developing recommendations for a long-term sustainable transportation finance plan was discussing charging drivers at the state border in an effort to support road, rail, and transit systems throughout Massachusetts. The concept has since drawn criticism from conservatives. Sununu said in a statement to the Boston Herald, and I quote, "Looks like Massachusetts has found yet another way to unnecessarily take your money. All the more reason for more Massachusetts residents to make the permanent move to New Hampshire. The live free or die state continues to be the place to be." End quote from Governor Sununu. The self-described unfiltered remarks from Tibbetts-Nutt. Tibbetts-Nutt, again, the Bay State Transportation Secretary, pricked up some ears on Beacon Hill, where reports from task forces and commissions can often come and go with little fanfare. The transportation secretary said the group is actually different because we're not censoring conversations. During an event hosted by Walk Massachusetts, that's Walk, W-A-L-K, Massachusetts, she also touched on charging transportation network companies like Uber and Lyft more, upping the cost of package deliveries, tackling speeding on local roads, and charging more for the state payroll tax. So there you go, some recommendations to raise more money for the Bay State from Monica Tibbetts-Nutt, the Bay State Transportation Secretary. Can you imagine? I mean, charging tolls. Let's say you're coming down 93 and you go through Salem, and then before you hit Massachusetts, or just before you hit Massachusetts, you're going to have to pay a toll. Same, you know, if you're coming down the Everett Turnpike in Nashua, pay a toll. If you're over on the seacoast, coming down 95 into Massachusetts, pay a toll. Over in the western part of the state, when you enter western Massachusetts, pay a toll. I don't think so, Monica. I don't think so. I don't think, you know, this has been floated before. This is not the first time this idea has been floated. Probably won't be the last. I don't think you'll ever see it come to fruition. I really and truly don't. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's ever going to happen. Something historic, though, is going to happen today. It's going to start up in the not-too-distant future. Opening arguments in former President Trump's historic and unprecedented criminal trial set to begin this morning, and the judge is also expected to rule on several motions that could make the trial even more difficult for the former president. Full jury of 12 plus six alternate jurors were selected and sworn in on Friday after 4 days of jury selection. Judge Juan Merchan, who is presiding over the trial, instructed jurors on Friday not to discuss or to research anything relating to the former president's case over the weekend or while serving on the panel. Merchan, the judge, said opening arguments will be delivered by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's team and Trump defense lawyers. Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, has been charged by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg with 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. The charges are related to alleged hush money payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 presidential election. Trump has pleaded not guilty to all counts. He has blasted the trial as pure politics, a political persecution, as he calls it, and he maintains his innocence. The former president and the first ever to be a defendant in a criminal trial vowed to tell the truth if he takes the stand. Trump attorney Will Scharf told Fox News Channel on Sunday that the case should never have been brought and that the facts are on his client's side. Scharf said, while the prosecution and the media are hell-bent on sensationalizing this case, we're focusing on the facts because the facts show President Trump did absolutely nothing wrong. This is a business records case. Those business records accurately reflected payments to one of President Trump's lawyers as legal retainer fees. Additionally, those records weren't actually entered by President Trump. He was busy running the country from the White House while all this was happening in Trump Tower in New York. End quote. Former president is subject to a gag order, which Mershon, the judge, imposed on him last month before the trial began. The judge ordered that Trump cannot make or direct others to make public statements about witnesses concerning their potential participation or about counsel in the case other than Bragg or about court staff, DA staff, or family members of the staff. Anyway, fireworks will start this morning in New York. We will see what happens with the first former president involved in a criminal trial. Kale and Company live here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. We'll take a break and be back with more. Stay with us. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com for a Monday. A delight to have you with us. Don't forget Slim and the Sports Machine. He will take a deep dive into what happened over the weekend, starting a little after 10 o'clock this morning here on WKXL. Talking about the Bruins' victory over Toronto, Celtics' victory over Miami. Slim will have all of it and more, and a preview tonight's Bruins-Toronto Game 2 matchup at the TD Garden. Celebrating birthdays today, Jack Nicholson. Jack is 87 years old today. Terry Francona. Well, Terry Francona will always have a special place in Boston sports, as he was the manager that was there in 2004 when the Red Sox broke the curse of the Bambino, and won their first World Series championship in 86 years. And then he went on from the Red Sox to go to Cleveland to manage the Indians, now Guardians, and retired at the end of last year. He's 65 today, so he was of age to retire, although many baseball managers have been in the dugout long after their 65th birthday, that's for sure. Amber Heard is celebrating today. You'll remember her, probably not from her movies, but from the Johnny Depp trial. Mel Carter, remember Mel? Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me. The big song back in the 60s. And also celebrating today, one of the great guitarists of all time, and that would be Peter Frampton. He is celebrating a birthday today. And maybe you can hear a little bit of Peter Frampton here on WKXL this morning, just in case you might have forgotten who he was.
Thank you. Shadows grow so long.
And he's battling an illness right now, and despite the fact that he has been diagnosed with inclusion body myositis, I believe it's how you say it, a progressive muscle disease that leads to muscle weakness and wasting, he is not hanging up his guitar for good just yet. In 2019, he announced a farewell tour and subsequent retirement. After revealing that diagnosis, the tour was eventually completed in 2022 due to COVID-related delays. The guitarist then surprised fans last year with a new Never Ever Say Never tour, for which he recently completed the spring leg of that tour. But he's still out there performing, nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2024. There you go. So congratulations to one of the great guitar players of all time, and that would be Peter Frampton. So he's celebrating a birthday today. He turns 71 years of age on this April 22nd, which is Earth Day. And again, if you weren't listening during the first segment of our show, there is an Earth Day celebration today at White Park in Concord. And that runs from 1 to 5. And also starting in just a few minutes from now, 9 o'clock, they're going to have a little opportunity for people to make some Earth Day decorations at the Concord Public Library. So Concord will be celebrating Earth Day. A lot of the Earth Day celebrations, commemorations took place over the weekend, but those are two that we know of today. And by the way, we are less now than 100 days away from the Summer Olympics in Paris. How about that? Less than 100 days away. The countdown continues. The NBA and NHL playoffs will just about be wrapping up at that point. And baseball season will be certainly in full swing. But in less than 100 days, more than 10,000 athletes from 206 countries will be in Paris to start the 30th edition of the Summer Olympics, the largest sporting event ever organized in Paris. The 2024 Paris Games will feature the first opening ceremonies planned to take place out of a stadium, the first surf contest to take place 10,000 miles from the host city, and the return of crowds to the Olympics. 32 sports and a total of 45 disciplines within those 32 sports. July 26th through August the 11th, in 15 different venues. The estimated cost of the 2024 Summer Games, $10 billion. However, that is $3 billion less than the estimated $13 billion the Tokyo Olympics Organizing Committee reported was spent in 2021 after those games were delayed for a year due to the pandemic. So there you go. Want to remind you, I won't remind you because you probably never knew, but Dan Weed is going to be joining us tomorrow here in studio. If you have any automotive questions to ask, well, he's the guy. He is the latter-day version of the Shell Answer Man. So Dan will be here tomorrow. If you have any automotive questions that you would like to pose to Dan, more than happy to answer them. And Dan will be with us for the whole hour tomorrow. And 603-224-1450 is the number to write down. If you have any concerns about your vehicle, Dan will be able to help you out. Something else on the calendar coming up this weekend, the production of Getting Away with Murder by the Pittsfield Players, and we have the director of that show with us. It's our producer, Andrew Gibson. Andrew, how's it coming along?
Oh, it's coming along great. We have started our technical rehearsals as of last night. And the cast is looking really good and ready to both make our audiences laugh and maybe gasp a little bit.
Gasp. Ooh. And I understand it's not for a younger crowd.
No. Oh, okay. It definitely leans towards a little bit more of an R rating. Adult language, adult situations, acts of violence, things like that. So definitely leave the kiddos at home for this one.
Tickets still available. Pittsfield Players, a great theater there in Pittsfield. And I saw Andrew there in Jekyll and Hyde. He was terrific. And I know this show will be as well. And you mentioned to me that it was co-written by Stephen Sondheim. Now, this is not a musical, folks, but it was co-written by Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah. It's the Stephen Sondheim Straight Show that had very few. It basically didn't do well when it first premiered. But the story itself is very well written. It's a very twisty kind of mystery. It's a combination of a bunch of different elements. There's a little bit of dark comedy. It's kind of a whodunit type of story. It'll definitely keep audiences curious and it'll keep them gasping and laughing all throughout.
Gasping and laughing. Now, there's a good combination to have. And the Pittsfield Players on Friday night, Saturday night at 7:30. Next Friday and Saturday at 7:30 as well. And a Sunday matinee on the 5th. Is that correct,
Mike? That's correct, yeah.
All right. That'll be at 1 o'clock. The evening shows are at 7:30 this weekend and next. So get your tickets now because it's sure to pack the house in downtown Pittsfield, and it'll be directed by Andrew Gibson, so you know, folks, it will be a quality production. So it'll be this weekend and next. And again, Dan Weed tomorrow for all your automotive needs. Give Dan a call if you have any questions about your vehicle or somebody else's vehicle in your life. 603-224-1450. We thank you for joining us today. And remember, folks, to always look on the bright side of life. Make it a great Monday, a great Earth Day, everybody.